listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City. My word
is a lamp. Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. It's really a privilege to be here another Saturday evening to continue in the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are in Matthew, the gospel writings of Matthew, and we are now in Matthew chapter 26. Last week we stopped at verse 54 of Matthew 26. We're going to be continuing from there. And we see Jesus had said, how then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? So we see Jesus had to go through all of what he went through for us. And we see people of God, he did it all for us. And we are the ones who are indebted to him. We are the ones, people of God, who must continue to serve him in spirit and in truth and continue to honor him for the work that he has done for us on the cross. He became our ultimate sacrifice. He died that we might live. And because he lives, we live. So we are going to be praying and going on to verse 55 of Matthew chapter 26. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for who you are. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace and mercy that you have bestowed unto us daily. Thank you for the access to your throne room of grace through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, O God, that he died to set us free. And because, O God Almighty, we are free, O God, we can rejoice, O God Almighty, and say hallelujah to your name. For the Lord omnipotent reigns. So we give you glory, give you praise, we give you honor. We thank you for this privilege to come, O God Almighty Lord, to hear of your word. We pray, O God, we will not be forgetful hearers, but doers of your word. Breathe upon us, Holy Ghost, and impart your truth to us. For you, O God Almighty Lord Jesus, are the Spirit of truth, O God Almighty, and you are here to impart your truth to us. So we thank you, O God, for all that you have done. We thank you, O God, for all that you have provided for us. We thank you that we are covered on every side. We thank you, O God Almighty, Lord, that we can walk with confidence because your word gives us confidence. So we bless you. We thank you for your people who take the time out to hear your word. And we pray, O God, that this word, O God Almighty, will transform their lives. O God, bringing forth newness of life in every area of their life. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you again for what you're doing. Thank you, O God, for touching and healing your people. Thank you, O God Almighty Lord, that we will walk by faith and not by sight. Thank you that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Thank you, O God, that we will walk in revelation knowledge in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless you, we honor and we give you glory always. In Jesus' name we pray and we say amen. Amen and amen. Praise God. So we will continue from verse 55 of Matthew chapter 26, verse 55 of Matthew chapter 26. The word said, in that hour Jesus said to the multitude, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me? So you come in after one man with such a great multitude. You coming after me. I was there in the temple and teaching and being in the temple, and you did not arrest me at that time. But now you're coming after me like I'm a robber. Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? You come in to arrest one man. Why are you coming out like this, like you're coming against a robber? I'm no robber. So we have to understand, people of God, it wasn't easy for Jesus. It wasn't easy. All this suffering, people of God, he was treated so in such a terrible way, people of God. He suffered for us. So we have to understand this truth and come to know that we must give him the glory, give him the honor, give him the praise. Look to him always. For he is the one who did it all for us. He is a sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Yet he did it all for us. He did it all for us. All to him we owe, people of God. They came to arrest him like they come in for a common criminal. Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? I was daily in the temple with you teaching. You never arrest me then. But now you're coming out treating me like a criminal. People of God, we have to understand this. This wasn't a nice feeling at all. I don't believe so. Look at verse 56 of Matthew 26. But all this was done that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. So we see, people of God, all that was written by the prophets had to be fulfilled. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep are scattered. So we see that all the disciples will forsake him and fled for their lives. So we see people of God fear taking over his disciples. Although they were followers of Jesus, they were still fearful. They were still guarding their lives. And many of us as followers of Jesus Christ are still guarding our lives. We are still fearful. But we have to become bold in him. Ask the Holy Spirit to give us the confidence, the courage that we need to stand up and stand up for Jesus. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Look at verse 57 of Matthew 26. And those who had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. So we see all those religious leaders were assembled at the high priest's house, and they were now waiting for Jesus to come to try him. Look at verse 58 of Matthew 26. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Peter followed him. The other disciples, they were scattered, but Peter followed him, the word said, at a distance. So Peter followed behind Jesus, but he stood at a distance. He went as far as the courtyard of the high priest. He sat down with the servants to see what would become of Jesus. He wanted to see what would become of Jesus, but he had to keep his distance. He didn't want anyone to spot him, people of God. Remember, he was a disciple of Jesus Christ. And if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ and they are going to kill Jesus, they might kill you too. So he stood his distance, but he just wanted to see. He truly loved Jesus, people of God. He wanted to see what would become of Jesus Christ, his Lord. So we see in verse 59, now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death. So they were now getting all the false witnesses to come and witness against Jesus so they could have something to accuse him of, so they could put him to death. Something that, oh, people of God, would warrant the death penalty. So we see they made up all these false witnesses, all that would come to put to testify against Jesus so they could put him to death. But the word said in verse 60, but found none. They found none. None of those witnesses were tangible witnesses that could truly condemn Jesus. So they found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward. So we are going to see what these false witnesses said. And we see in verse 61, and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. Look on the false testimony, people of God. They did not understand what Jesus said. So they said Jesus said that he would destroy the temple and build it back in 3 days. So we see, people of God, when we don't understand what is being said, we will fabricate, we will come up with our own interpretation of what was said. Jesus, we remember when he ran them out of the temple because they were selling and buying and doing all these things, business transaction in the temple. Jesus would run them out of the temple, beat them out of the temple. And Jesus stood up and said that he is going to destroy, this temple will be destroyed, and in 3 days it will be built again. He was speaking of his death and resurrection. He was speaking of his death and resurrection, but they did not understand, people of God. So they came with this as a false witness against Jesus, as a false testimony that he said he was going to destroy Solomon's temple and build it back in 3 days. People of God, we have to understand that Jesus was not speaking about that literal temple, but this is what they perceived at the time, that Jesus said that he was going to destroy the temple of God and build it back in 3 days. He was not speaking of the literal temple. He was speaking of his body. But look at verse 62 of Matthew 26. The word said, "And the high priest rose and said to him, 'Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?'" The high priest said, "Do you answer nothing, Jesus? What is it these men testify against you?" So we see where the high priest rose up and asked Jesus if he was not going to say anything, if he was not going to respond to this accusation against him. So we see, people of God, we have to understand, Jesus kept silent. But the word said in verse 63, but Jesus kept silent. So we have to know when to speak and when to be silent. Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." I put you under oath. Look at the high priest, thought he had so much authority. "I'm putting you under oath, Jesus, by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So we see he was here wanting to compel Jesus to speak up, to tell them whether or not he was the Christ. He was the anointed one, the Son of the living God. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 26, verse 64. Look at verse 64. The word said, Jesus said to him, "It is as you said. It is as you said. I am the Christ." That's what you said. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. "I am the Christ, the Son of God." "It is as you said." So we have to understand, people of God, and we have to know when to speak and when not to speak. "It is as you said." Nevertheless, Jesus continued to speak. "Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." People of God, we have to understand, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter, after all of this happened, you're going to see me. You're going to see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power of the Father and coming on the clouds of heaven." So we see, people of God, Jesus said to him, Jesus continued to speak. In spite of all that the high priest is saying, he will see him. "You're going to see me sitting on the right hand of power, sitting on the right hand of glory, sitting on the right hand of the Father, and we'll be coming back on the clouds of heaven." People of God, we have to understand this truth. So we see clearly, as scripture interprets scripture, we see clearly in Revelation 1:7, John the Apostle was writing, and he said, "Behold, he's coming with clouds. Behold, he's coming with clouds, and every eye will see him." Remember, Jesus said, "You're going to see me? Every eye will see him, even they who pierced him." So we see, people of God, even those who pierced him, they will see him. "And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him." Even so, amen. Even so, John said, "Let it be." So we have to understand, people of God, as Jesus spoke to the high priest and said, "You're going to see me sitting in the right hand of power. You're going to see me sitting in my glorious state. And you're going to see me coming back as well on the clouds of heaven." And we see, people of God, when you speak of the clouds, you speak of people. So we see, "Behold, he's coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him." Even they who pierced him. All of these religious people who pierced him will see him. "And all of the tribes of the earth will mourn." Those who have not put their trust in Jesus Christ will mourn because of him. So John wrote and made it so clear to us here in Revelation 1:7. Let us read and understand the word of God, people of God. Scripture interprets scripture. We have to understand this truth. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and the word of God, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribe of the earth will mourn those who did not put their trust in him. You have been hearing the word over and over and over again, and you failed to put your trust in Jesus. You're going to mourn on that day because of him. Even so, amen, John said. Look on verse 65 of Matthew 26. Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. So we see people of God, they were accusing Jesus of blaspheming because he was saying that he is the Son of God and he is the Christ. So we see they accused him of blaspheming. So they said, listen to me, we don't have no more need of any more witnesses. This is enough evidence to put him to death. That's what the high priest was saying. So the high priest tore his clothes. He was troubled about the response of Jesus. He called it blasphemy, saying that they did not need any more witnesses because what he are saying, Christ has condemned himself by saying he is the Son of God. But people of God, we know that Christ is the Son of God. We know that he is the Christ, the anointed one. They didn't know. Their eyes were blind, the people of God. So they thought he was blaspheming, saying that he was the Son of God. So we have to understand, people of God, when people's eyes are blinded by the enemy, then they cannot see, they cannot know, they cannot perceive the things of God. It is foolishness to the natural man because it's spiritually discerned. So we have to understand, the people of God, and know that God is calling us to that place where we walk in revelation knowledge, where we know Jesus for who he is. We know that he is the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. We must revere him for who he is. We must honor him. We must walk each day, people of God, in awe of who he is, because he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah. There is none like him. And we see, people of God, he went through all those suffering for us. He did it all for us. All to him we owe. So we see, people of God, the high priest tore his clothes. He was troubled about the response of Jesus. He tore his clothes and he called it blasphemy, that they did not need any more witnesses, because what happened is that he now had enough evidence, he thought, that he could put Jesus to death. Look at verse 26 of Matthew 26. Verse 26 says, what do you think? So the high priest was asking them the question, the council. He was asking them, what do you think? They answered and said, he is deserving of death. He is deserving of death. That was their answer, people of God. These religious people thought they could put Jesus Christ to death. But the word tells us in John 10 that he, the good shepherd, laid down his life for us. They could not put him to death. The scripture had to be fulfilled, people of God. We know that the scripture had to be fulfilled. They answered and said, he's deserving of death. So they believed they were the ones who put him to death. But he laid down his life for us. He laid down his life so he could take it up again. So we have to understand this truth, people of God, that our good shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, would lay down his life for us. So the council came to the conclusion that Jesus was deserving of death. But as we know, the scripture has to be fulfilled. So let us turn to Isaiah 53. Let Isaiah 53, verse 5, and also verses 7 and 8. We could read all of Isaiah 53, but you can read that in your spare time. But we are going to be looking at verse 5 and verse 7 and 8. The word of God tells us in verse 5 of Isaiah 53, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Speaking of Jesus, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So we have to know, people of God, that Isaiah wrote this prophecy over 700 years before Christ came. Speaking of Jesus Christ, the suffering servant. And people of God, we have to understand, the cup couldn't be taken from him. He had to go through the suffering, and he did it all for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Jesus. And by his stripes, by every stripe he suffered, we are healed. Our healing, people of God, is in every stripe that he suffered, every wound that was on his body. Bear, people of God, that healing for us. So we have to understand and appropriate what Christ has done for us at the cross. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 53:7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. So we have to understand the truth, people of God. As a sheep before his shearer is silent or dumb, another translation said, he opened not his mouth. Look at verse 8. It says he was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. He was cut off. He died for us, people of God. He laid down his life for us. No man took his life from him. They said he's deserving of death. They were ready to crucify him. But the word tells us he was stricken and for our transgression. None of his own. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. They killed him. People of God, they crucified him on that cross. They laid him in a tomb. He rose again for our justification. So we have to understand, people of God, that Christ did it all for us. And Isaiah saw that as the Lord showed him what would happen to Christ, the anointed one, the suffering servant, he did it all for us. And this is a chapter, people of God, that you must spend time on, Isaiah 53, and see what the suffering servant had done for us. So it was all about him doing it for us. He bore our shame, our pain, our iniquities. He bore all our infirmities, people of God. He suffered for us and he carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. So we have to understand that he's a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. No sorrow of his own, no grief of his own, but our sorrow, our grief, our sin, our sicknesses, our inadequacies, our infirmities. He took it all for us. He became our sin substitute, people of God. We have to understand that. He became our sin substitute. He took our sin. He took the place that we should have taken. So we have to understand, people of God, the wages of sin is death. We were condemned to die, but he took our place and gave us the gift of eternal life. People of God, we should be rejoicing and we should be giving Jesus Christ the glory that belongs to his great name. We should be worshiping him each day in spirit and in truth. Look at verse 67 of Matthew chapter 26. Then they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palm of their hands. Look at what Jesus went through for us. They spat in his face, people of God. That's the worst insult, somebody spitting in your face. They spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palm of their hands. Look at verse 68. We'll stop at verse 68. Saying, prophesy to us, Christ. Who is the one who struck you? Prophesy to us. So they were mocking and jeering Jesus. Prophesy to us, Christ. Who is the one who struck you? Tell us who struck you, Jesus. They were now mocking Jesus, jeering him, doing all manner of evil to him, spat in his face, struck him, beat him with the palm of their hands. So people of God, we have to understand the word of God tells us in Hebrews 12, verse 3. For consider him. Think about Jesus. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. Lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls, consider Jesus, who endured such hostility, who endured such opposition from sinful people. These religious people were sinful people. They did not know the true and living God. They knew the Mosaic law, but did not know the true and living God. They did not know the lawgiver. So we have to understand this truth. So Jesus had to pay the penalty for our sins. It is written, he said, so I must fulfill what is written of me. So we see, people of God, he suffered for us. So we have to consider him. Keep him at the forefront of your mind. All that he went through for us, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. One translation said, lest you become weary and faint in your minds. So people of God, we don't want to be people who are faint-hearted. We want to be people who are courageous, people who are bold, and know that suffering will come. But how we respond in the time of suffering will say who we are in Christ Jesus. So people of God, we have to come to that place of understanding that we are also going to suffer. We have become joint heirs with Christ Jesus. So we are going to suffer with him also. And we are also going to reign with him. So we have to understand this truth, people of God, and live a life that honors his name. Live a life that honors Jesus Christ. And walk in integrity. Walk in truth and holiness. Bringing honor and glory to his great name. So it's not about our name, people of God. It's about the name of Jesus Christ, who died for us, who suffered for us. Consider him, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul, lest you become weary and give up in your minds. We have to stand up and stand up for righteousness. We have to walk in the Spirit. We have to be strengthened in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We have to understand, people of God, that he died for us. He rose again and he ascended on high, and he ever lived to make intercession for us. Right now he's interceding for us daily. The word of God tells us. So we have to understand that we have a great high priest who is interceding for us daily, so we can run to him at any time, at any place. Call out to him. He will hear and answer us. Jesus Christ, our Lord, let us continue to exalt his name, for his name is above all other names, people of God. We have to understand he's given a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he's Lord. He's Lord, and he wants to be Lord of your life this evening. So commit your life to him, and he will come in and be Lord of your life. Confess your sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. God bless you all here this evening, and continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for who you are. Thank you for your word to us. Thank you that you're calling us to holiness and righteousness. Thank you, O God, Almighty Lord, that you're calling us to live each day in honor of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has died for us so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. So we bless you, we honor and give you glory always. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and we say amen and amen. God bless you all. Continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and continue to look to him always. Amen and amen. In the Lord is
love. Reproofs of instruction. Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible teaching ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.
tonight. The sky is